Welcome to this week's episode of The Homeschool How-To. I'm Cheryl, and I invite you to join me on my quest to find out, why are people homeschooling? How do you do it? What are the differences in how people homeschool from region to region? And should I homeschool my kids? Stick with me as I unfold the answers to each of these questions week by week. Welcome. Thank you for joining us today. Here with me is Anna. Anna is a homeschooled student, and I'm so excited to have her on the podcast today because her opinion is actually the most important. She's the one living the life as the homeschooled student. So us parents can kind of go back and forth as much as we want, but all that really matters is how this affects the students. So I'm so excited to have you here today. Thank you for being here, Anna.
Thank you for having me. This is really exciting because I think I told you when we talked on the phone, but just looking back at like the years that I've been homeschooled and stuff, and this is my senior year. So being able to take a moment and like look back on it, I haven't done that yet. And so just looking at your questions and going through them in my mind was really good.
Oh, good. Anna, tell me, how many siblings do you have?
So I have 8 siblings.
Wow.
And I'm the oldest of them. So I'm 17, and then Grace is 16, Thaddeus is 14, Rachel is 13, Lucy is 10, Caroline is 8, and Jack is 4, and then Jude is 1.5 months old.
Your mother must be a saint. That is amazing. Now, when I met you, because you are local, and when I met you, we just met the one time, but you said something that stuck with me. And do you remember what it was? I asked you what you like about homeschooling.
Oh, I don't remember what I said, honestly. I don't.
You talked about your siblings.
Oh.
Yeah, and it stuck with me because it was so like precious how you just talked about this bond that you guys all have that, you know, you'll have forever. And because a lot of siblings don't get along and don't like each other. And I wonder if it's because they're not really growing together. They're living these separate lives all day long and then trying to, you know, blend them together on nights and weekends. So tell me about kind of just your relationship with them and what homeschooling has done for you guys.
Well, definitely. One of like the really good things about homeschooling that I think really drew us together, and it wouldn't have so much if I went to public school, was being together like all the time, because we get up in the morning together, we like do our schoolwork together, and then the afternoons we'll go on hikes or play outside. And I always grew up surrounded with my siblings like probably like 99% of the time. And once I got older, I did start doing other activities with friends more and stuff. But we still spend so much time together. And we also, our family isn't very much a screen family. And so growing up, my mom didn't really have a phone. I remember when she first got one and we were like, oh, and it was this little square thing. But we just do a lot of things outside together. And we have always shared a room with like a bunch of us. Now it's just me and Grace that share a room. But we've always had that quality time, like right in the morning at like 6 o'clock when we get up until all the way at night when we go to bed. But
do you guys ever annoy each other or get mad at each other?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Certainly.
You got to be real here, too.
I mean, we've learned, though, to work things out because I think we understand like we're going to be with each other so much that we need to work on our differences. And especially me and Grace, we share a room together. We always have. And we are complete opposites. We actually took the personality test. I think it's the Enneagram personality test. And we are literally completely opposite. And our other siblings have varying personalities. And so you really have to learn how to get along with like a bunch of different personalities. And it tests your patience. But since we're together so much, instead of, I feel like if I went to school, I would just be like, oh, like when I'm home with my siblings, I get annoyed, but then I can just leave and kind of ignore the annoying feelings that we have toward each other and the tension. But since we're with each other all the time, like I've learned that it's better to work through them because then you always have this tension and you're always like miserable together.
Right.
And I've learned it's way more fun to not have that tension in our relationship. So.
And that is such a valuable tool for you to have when you are in the workforce or when you are married or when you have children of your own, to have those tools to be able to work through the relationships like that. That's really cool. So, have you ever been enrolled in any sort of formalized schooling?
No, I never have.
Never. So, what do you think the best parts are about being homeschooled in addition to the sibling bond that you have?
I think the first one is like the flexibility that we get to have as homeschoolers because we really can. It's not like we have to have this like particular school day from like, I don't know when kids get to school, like 7 o'clock until like 3 o'clock or whatever. It's more of like we can be flexible. Like if we want to have a field trip one day and go to a museum or go on a hike or something, like we can do that. And then we just have to be like, okay, we have to get this much schoolwork done at this time. We might have to double up one day, and then the next day we'll go on a field trip. It's kind of like that. So it's really nice to have that opportunity to be flexible. And we've been able to take on jobs. Like in the spring, we work at an orchard. And so we go there early in the mornings. We can get in a lot of hours. And so we just schedule our school like for a few days. And then the other days we work all day. You
Wow.
can just have that flexibility that you wouldn't normally have.
Right. And you're probably learning more life skills with working at the orchard, right? Like, I'm thinking of just like growing food or gardening, those sort of skills that you're not learning necessarily in school.
Yes, instead of just, I don't know, personally, I find that I'm more productive when I am outside during the day instead of just like being inside for hours at a time, like working on schoolwork. I'm more productive. Maybe it's just my personality, but I'm more productive if I do some schoolwork, then I do something else like outside, then I do some more schoolwork, and then I do something else. So I like to break it up. And working at the orchard is like a perfect opportunity because I get to go to work and then I come home and work. And it's just nice to break it up. And I feel like I get more stuff actually done because I'm not just sitting there for hours on end.
Right. So now for me, okay, I went to public school. I literally know nothing about homeschooling other than just I've been like talking to homeschooling families and then attending some homeschool play groups with my son. But I haven't delved into any sort of curriculum or like a life, a day in the life of. Could you kind of outline for me what your day looks like?
So mom has like a schedule that she has, but obviously like what we were just talking about, like we sometimes are flexible with the schedule. It's not always like pat down, but she does try to have like a framework of what we do. And first in the morning, we usually get up at 5:50. Usually it's like when me and Grace's alarm clock goes off, and then we have to be downstairs at 6:10. So we all go downstairs and we have a little devotional time and just a time to kind of like wake up before we start in on our schoolwork. And then we usually do, me and Grace do our math and then we do our history and we do whatever things we have to do for that year. We did economics at the beginning of this year. And so we do that schoolwork and then we have like a little break snack time where like we talk for a little bit. The kids sometimes get to go outside and play for a little bit. And we sometimes do that too, like a little break in between, kind of like recess. And then we start back in our schoolwork and we generally like to be done by lunchtime. So then we have lunch. And after lunch, we can finish schoolwork that we hadn't gotten finished. Like sometimes, especially since this is my senior year, I've been doing that more often, working more in the afternoon. But then the younger kids, they just play outside in the afternoon. We sometimes do like community things. I volunteer at a museum in town. And so I'll do that in the afternoon, or I'll go on a hike with like some of our friends, or all of us will go somewhere together. And so that's kind of what a typical school day looks like. I'm trying to think if there's anything else, but yeah. And then we have dinner, and we sometimes, me and Grace, do some work after dinner, but.
Have you over the years done co-ops or the groups? I guess how do you get in your socialization and meeting friends?
Oh yeah, we have a co-op in Hoosic Falls, and from the time the co-op started, my mom actually helped start it. So I kind of grew up there in a way. It's every Friday, for 7 weeks in the fall, and then 7 weeks in the spring, and we do different activities. We do like gym. There's like history classes. We had a survival skill class. Just different classes where we interact with people. And that's where a lot of me and Grace's and all my other siblings' friends have come from, actually. Most of our friends in our community that we have has come from that co-op.
Do you have any openings? Gonna need to be looking into this co-op.
Oh, yes.
My son is 4. I don't know what ages it starts at,
It
but
starts, I mean, we have nursery for the.
we need some life skills, survival skills.
Oh, yes. That is one of our favorite classes, actually. There's a waiting list, but it isn't really like too long. And we have like some kids graduating out this year, and so it kind of flows through. And then some families will sometimes like go to different co-ops. So sometimes we'll get a family 1 year and then they won't come back the next year. And so we usually have some open spaces each co-op, like each co-op semester, if you would call it. And so if you wanted to, like you could reserve like a spot and then you would just be on the waiting list.
So that's amazing. So that just goes to show like how many homeschoolers there really are. And I mean, we're in New York, and I mean, I talk to homeschoolers through this podcast all over the country, and it always amazes me, like in places like Georgia. I just spoke with a woman the other day, and I'm like, why are you homeschooling? You live in a very conservative state, and you have healthcare exemptions, and she was just listing all these other reasons. So I'm like, wow, I didn't realize. Like, I guess for me in my mind, I felt like it's just certain areas, they homeschool because of X, Y, or Z, but it's really across the country. It's so big. And yeah, so it's so funny to hear you say, like, oh yeah, our co-op doesn't have, there's a waiting list. It doesn't have any openings right now. And it just goes to show how big homeschooling is getting.
Oh, definitely. When I first started, I was like, I think like 8 or something. And like every single year, there's been more and more kids that have been coming to the point where we had to do like a waiting list. We did not have a waiting list before.
I feel like it used to be maybe when you first started homeschooling. Have you seen it kind of grow over your lifetime?
Oh, definitely. We go to the summer camp every summer. And when I was younger, and we would like go around the room, and all the girls would say what like schools they were from and everything. And I would say, like, oh, I'm homeschooled. And everyone would look at me like, what's that? Like, they would all ask me questions. But now it's completely different. Like, everyone seems to know what it is now, like, since COVID happened and a bunch of people started homeschooling.
Oh, so you've seen a bigger rise just in the last 3 years.
Oh, yeah, especially after COVID. I think it became more normalized in a way, like to be home and doing it, like maybe doing it online, but you were doing it at home. And so people kind of realized, like, oh, like you don't have to be in school to like do it. And it's not as hard as like I think parents realize, like, oh, this isn't as hard as I thought it would be. You
Right.
know, like they can do it.
Right.
And so I think COVID really pushed people to think about things that they wouldn't have normally thought about.
Yeah. Right. And like for me, it was things like masking my 3-year-old. And I'm like, well, I'm his parent and I don't want him masked. And they're like, well, it's going to happen anyway. And for me, it was just like, well, why don't I have control over my own child and feeling that like helplessness of, this is my kid. It's not yours. Like, I want to be in control of what he breathes and doesn't breathe. So you have the co-op, and that's how you've kind of made a lot of your friends. Have you done any other like sports or things like that? Because I know in New York, we're not allowed to do the school sports. What other outlets have you had for the activities?
Well, our co-op actually started their own ultimate frisbee team.
Oh.
And so they competed against other schools and stuff, and they actually won, I forget what they call it, but like the championship game of Ultimate Frisbee, they ended up winning it against all the other schools, and then they did it for like a few more seasons. They're not currently doing it right now because the leader of it, like he's busy and stuff, but we're kind of looking for someone to pick it up and maybe continue it. So that was a really cool opportunity. I personally wasn't really on it because I'm not a big sports person. But a lot of my friends were on it and they really loved it. And so that was great. And it just shows that just because you might have limitations, because like New York State, you can't do the sports with the school, you can find creative ways to overcome the challenges of that. And you can really use your creativity more and you're forced to use it more. So yeah, that was a good thing. And there's other outlets too. I mean, there's like tennis clubs that you can join. Some of my friends do tennis clubs in Bennington, I think there's some. And then some of my friends do soccer. I think they started their own soccer team too. It's not really part of our co-op, but like they had their own soccer team with some of their friends and stuff. And I'm trying to think of what else, but there's definitely other opportunities to do stuff if you really are intentional about like looking for them.
So, do you ever feel like you'll look back on life and think, gee, I wish I had gone to school, or, wish I had had some of the more traditional experiences like a homecoming game, or, just like the boy girl interaction, that's pretty much probably just all trouble. But do you look back on that and ever think that?
Well, when I was younger, I used to want to go to school because I thought I was missing out on something. But now, at the point I'm at now, looking back and seeing some of my friends that went through public school and stuff, I just realized I don't think I really care about experiencing those things. Like, I used to think I wanted to go to prom, and we actually got invited to go to a prom. But my friends just said, like, it's just they don't like it. Like, there's people like kissing everywhere, and some of my friends that go to that school, they're like, it's just not like very like fun. They would rather do something else instead of go. So I was like, honestly, like I don't really think that I really would want to go anyways. So I think my perspective has changed.
It's more the idea of like what, the prom is in our minds, and then
Exactly.
the actual experience of it is probably nothing like that.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, because being homeschooled too, like never going inside a public school, you kind of think of it in like a glamorous way. Like, at least I did. Like, oh my goodness, like I just had so much curiosity about school. And I wanted to know what it was like to like ride on a school bus and have something new and different. But now looking back, I was like, I have seen so many more benefits of having been homeschooled than if I did go to school.
Yeah, and what some of the moms have told me that I've talked to, they're like, yes, your kid will miss out on some experiences, but they're also gaining so many more experience and different experiences. And they don't know that they're missing out on that because they don't know what a homecoming, dance is, or and also when I was younger, I think prom and homecoming games were much different than they are in 2023 or like 2030 when my son, might be experiencing that stuff, or 2035. It's just every year it seems to get worse and worse. And now since COVID and the different agendas that I think the public school system has,
Oh my
it's
God.
like not that wholesome experience anymore. Everything has an agenda and it's kind of just ruined a little bit. So it's kind of, I'm sad for him that he won't, if I choose to homeschool him, he's not going to do that stuff, but he wouldn't anyway if he were in school because it's different than when I, was younger. How do you kind of decide, hey, I think my interests might be, towards a career in, say, it's law or medicine? How do you even know what areas you want to start learning about in order to for your mom to say like, okay, well, this will be the curriculum that we'll do. This will be the class we'll do. And do you do any sort of like outreach? I've heard of a program called OutSchool where you might take a class online, you know, if it's something that you guys don't feel equipped to learn at home on your own.
Yeah, we actually, when I was younger, we more just did, because I guess I really didn't really develop like, oh, what do I really want to like learn more about until I was a little older. When I got into my early teenage years, I really got into history a lot. And so my dad would, like, we would do some studying together because he's really into history. He would take me to like historical sites, or we would watch like history documentaries on YouTube together. And he really encouraged me to volunteer at the museum in our town. And I did that. It was really great. And I wrote some papers for their little like newsletter that they have too. And so I definitely think that like if the parents are watching to see like, oh, what their kid is getting into, and then encouraging them in it, like my dad did, then you can reach out and be like, oh, there's this class. I want to take this because of history. And then I can talk to dad about it. And he's like, oh yeah, that's a great idea. And you have that encouragement. But then also me and my sister Grace were getting into some business things, and we want to start like a small business. And so we took some college classes in Vermont, because if you're in high school in this particular college, you can take college classes, and you're called like an early scholar. And so you have to pay to take them, but you can get them for credit. Mm-hmm. And so that's also an opportunity. And there's the Hudson Valley Consortium. I don't know if you ever heard of that. Two of my cousins went there, and their classes are very in-depth. They have, like, science classes. They have actual, like, teachers that have gotten, like, degrees in it that are doing some of the high school classes, which is really interesting. So you definitely have places where you can really get into something that you're interested in and learn more about it if you are really looking.
What curriculums have you done over the years? Like, what curriculums have you liked doing? Have you, you know, I've heard a little bit about Abeka and The Good and the Beautiful. And, you know, have you had a lot of experience with them?
We did the Sunlight. I don't know if you've heard of that, but we did that for a little bit. And you, like, read a bunch of different books. And it's kind of expensive. So we ended up using our friends' curriculum because they did it all, and then they give it to us. And there's like a whole bunch of books that you get to read, which is really cool. And that was when I was younger. And then we did for math, we did quite a few maths. We started with Saxon math, but I was really struggling with math. So we decided to switch it up. So we went to teaching textbooks, which is like on the computer, and that was okay. But I still felt like I needed something more hands-on, so we did Matthew C, and that has really helped. And we are doing that with, like, all the kids now. And you have, like, blocks and stuff and, like, visual things that, if you're a visual learner, it can really help. And so we're doing that for math right now. I'm trying to think what we did, what we're doing for history. My mom would probably know better, like, the different curriculums. But we've also kind of switched up our history curriculums, too. But mom is making sure, like, we are doing the history that, like, we're supposed to do each year. Like, this year we're doing, like, American history. And so, because there's a bunch of requirements we have to do. But she kind of switches it up, because we could have done American history last year, or we could do it this year. So we decided to do it this year.
Now, do you have to take standardized tests, or how does that work?
Yeah, so every other year we take, well, as high schoolers, we take CAT tests. And so that usually takes, we sometimes break it up so it takes like a few weeks. Oh no, usually we try to do it in 1 week. Sometimes we've done it in 2 weeks if we are kind of doing it slower. But we just go over, the different questions they have. There's like little circular things that you like color in. And then you send it in, and then they send you your results back. And then the younger kids, they have a different test that they take.
Okay, so you said that you do have friends that are in public school, mm-hmm. and they're probably not going to listen to this, so don't feel bad saying the truth. How do you think, how are you set apart from your peers that did go to mainstream school?
You know, that was something that I struggled with until like the past couple of years. Like when I was younger, I really did not know that many people from public school. My cousins went to public school, and that's like about it of the people I knew that went to public school, because I kind of we just stayed in our like co-op group. But then when I would go to like camp in the summer, I would meet kids that were mostly all public schooled. What I find is some of the public school kids, they're a lot of times like on their phones or like in their own groups. And so I feel like honestly, like when I go places and see them, I sometimes like talk with them, but most of the time I just get this feeling like they're just doing their own thing and I just guess I'm doing my own thing. And maybe that's my fault. I should probably go out and be more social with them. But that's kind of my experience that I've always had. But then this year I've made a lot of friends from public school just because I've worked with them at summer camp a lot. Other than that, yeah. I don't know if I answered that good, but
No, you did. I think when I was talking to another woman, Julie, who's from California, she was talking about how homeschooled kids, their curiosity is intact. And I said to her, "Well, what do you mean by that?" "I'm public school educated. I don't know what you mean." and she was like, "No, one, they're used to talking to people of all different ages, and they are curious about things and will ask questions. So it's not this, constant, like I'm just sitting on my phone." And the phone is weird too, because you can get literally information about anything in the world on your phone. But yet, what are we all we're using it for? We're using it to like scroll through TikTok. And well, no, I was banned from TikTok. Scroll through Instagram. And it's so crazy because it's like you could find out information for anything. But yet we just use it for the most like piddly dink things, But I think in my mind, homeschoolers are just used to talking to people of any age. They're not shy about it. They are curious about things. And I mean, it's like a breath of fresh air.
That's something that I honestly like. I sometimes feel more comfortable, like throughout my life, talking to people that are older than me. Like from older generations, I've gotten along way more with them because I can actually have really good conversations with them than a lot of public school kids that are my age. So it's interesting that you said that because I definitely agree with that.
Yeah. Now, your day must be, I know we talked about your day earlier. How is it having all of the children there learning, though? Like, do you help out with any of their education or, helping them with their schoolwork? Or is your mom just like, I can't, I'd love to be a fly on the wall to see your mother trying to like manage 9 kids with meals and schoolwork. I don't know. I don't understand how she does it. It's amazing.
Well, if you talk to her, she would honestly be like, oh my goodness, I don't know how I do it either. Because she has said the same thing, like, oh, I wish I was a fly in the wall to other like homeschool moms that have like more kids than us. Like we have one family that has 12 kids. And she said that same exact thing to her. Honestly, like everyone does it different. And mom just, she does, like, she puts her all into it. And I think that's great. And she is running around and doing stuff. And, but she has it pretty scheduled where, like, she's like, okay, I'm spending this amount of time with this kid. And then she goes to the next kid. And she's like, okay, I'm spending this amount of time with this kid. And she has a, like, certain time during the day where she's like, if you have math questions, come to me right now. Then we'll go to her then. But it is sometimes, honestly, very loud just because there's like a 4-year-old and there's an 8-year-old and there's the little baby Jude and it's a lot. So this year, mom actually bought us like those ear protector things that are like earmuffs in a way that people
I was
wear.
gonna say noise canceling headphones.
Yes, literally. Yeah, those are what they are. Because it's just is crazy and we're all like only in like 3 rooms downstairs. And so it really helps to be able to focus. And so that's what we've been using this year. She kind of does try to have it where like the kids will, some of them will be upstairs playing. They have like the younger kids will be upstairs playing, so then it's not too loud and crazy. Then they come down and it's kind of like every day is different. We just try to get our stuff done, and sometimes it happens later, and sometimes it's more loud one day than it was the day before. But we just try to make it work.
Yeah, I can't imagine the balance that she must have. And maybe she can come on the podcast one day, because between the planning and, you know, for your activities or your schooling, I know she probably doesn't have to be there to do a whole lot of the teaching, more maybe just guiding and making sure you're in the right kind of curriculums or whatnot. But for the little ones, there's got to be, you know, the crafts and the letters and all that stuff. But someone that I spoke to on a podcast a couple weeks ago, she was saying how you can do a like content-based subject matters as family style. And those are things like geography and, you know, social studies. Have you guys ever done that?
Oh, like all together? Oh, yeah, definitely. We do that with our science. And we do, like, experiments together and stuff. And that's fun. And that's usually, like, in the morning. We either read, like, science or history, like, all together. And sometimes mom does do this unique thing, which I think is kind of cool. She'll take, like, during the week, she'll sometimes read our history, like, our older high school history. And then the next week, the younger kids' history to everyone. So then we get to hear what, like, the other kids are learning, and they get to hear what we're learning. And so it kind of melded together in a really cool way. So we know what each other are learning. And then, like, with experiments, sometimes the younger kids have experiments in their science, so we'll do it with them. And sometimes we'll have activities in ours that everyone will do with us, too. So it's kind of, we've melded stuff together. It's kind of, yeah, like you said, I guess. I don't know if it's really, like, we're all learning the whole entire book together, but we sometimes learn little bits of each other's books.
Oh, that's really sweet. So, what is next for you? Because you'll be graduating this spring. What's next on your plan of life?
Well, I really want to be an herbalist. So, I am going to be taking some courses in herbalism. There's this online, like, college called Heart of Herbs, and it's an herbal school. And I had really been thinking about this for like last year and this year, because I've been getting into herbalism. And the cool thing is, there was actually a co-op class at our co-op that was about herbalism, and so that's how it kind of sparked my interest. And then I was doing it more, and then I was like, you know, I really think I want to become a certified herbalist, and I think if I get married and have kids someday, it'll be a great asset to have, to know how to, like, make tinctures and poultices and different things to aid my children, like, if they get hurt. And just to have that knowledge, I think, is really great. And especially, I don't know, this could probably be a whole other conversation, but I really don't really like the healthcare system we have now. I just really am disappointed in it. So I don't really want to put my full trust in that system to take care of my children. And like you said, it's kind of similar to the homeschooling thing and the public school. Like, you don't really have a say sometimes, like, in how your children are given medical attention. And we've had certain situations happen with our family, with hospitals and with mom when she was giving birth and stuff. And so I really want to learn and go back to almost the old way of foraging and figuring out how to make the stuff yourselves, because it's such a great, like, tool to have. And so, yeah, I'll be doing that next year, and I'm going to be working. Our doctor reached out to us and wanted me to babysit her children next year. So that might be a cool opportunity. And if not, I will probably get a job at I'm looking at some farms to work at. And then there's also the survival school that I just found called Coyote Bushcraft, and it's in southern New Hampshire, and they have really cool classes about, like, land navigation was one of them, spring foraging was one, hunting and trapping skills, just really, again, like, cool things that would be great tools to have that I think I could actually, like, would really benefit me in real life.
So if you do have kids one day, do you plan on homeschooling them?
Honestly, I am way more leaning toward yes than no, just because of, like, I've seen my mom homeschool, and I really think it's nice to have a mom that did homeschool, because when I start homeschooling, I really feel like it'll be really helpful to have her support. And if I have questions about things, like, she can teach me how to, like, write the quarterly reports and do, like, the different things like that. That I think it would be a little scary for me if my family didn't homeschool and then going into homeschooling. So I have great respect for people that go into homeschooling, like, when they were public school and their families
didn't do homeschooling because it's harder, I feel like. You don't have that support system.
Oh, yeah. No, my family thinks I'm crazy.
Oh, my goodness. That must be so hard.
They're like, she's gone off the deep end again. Oh, jeez.
Oh, man. I have great respect for you. It's amazing that you're able to pursue truth and not just, like, go along with what, like, has always been done, you know? I have great respect for that.
I wasn't always. I was a little follower, but I think I was kind of taught to be mm-hmm. that way through school and then through my career. And now that, I guess, COVID opened up my eyes and I just fell down a rabbit hole and kept going. Wow. I'm like digging the other side of China right now because I'm like, oh, I just keep finding out more and more and more.
I don't know. The things that I used to think were crazy, like before COVID, now I'm like, no, that's not crazy. You know, you have a different right? perspective on things. It's like, I think COVID definitely woke up a lot of us to like, and even me being homeschooled, like to wait a sec, like the government has a lot of say suddenly about these things and we just didn't notice it before.
Absolutely. And all by design. The laws that have been signed in over the decades. Yeah, somebody really thought that through. It has been such a pleasure to talk to you tonight. And I just, your perspective means so much because, you know, parents can talk to their blue in the face about if homeschooling is right or wrong for their kids. But the only one actually experiencing it in their childhood is the child. So that means the most to me. You know, I'll never know what it's like to be homeschooled. So my decisions, you know, affect my kids' lives, and that's what's most important. So I want to make sure I'm doing what's best for them. But to talk to you and hear how well-rounded you are and how well-spoken and just your outlook on life, it's different. It's truly a breath of fresh air talking to you than most kids or even adults that I know. So I don't know if that's just your personality and it would have been that way whether you went to, you know, traditional school or not, but you are definitely a very special girl and I wish you all the best in everything you do in the future because I know it'll be great.
Oh my goodness. Well, thank you so much for having me on because you also honestly are a breath of fresh air to me because I get so like energized whenever I hear of new people doing homeschooling and new people like opening their eyes to the truth of like, I don't know, and like really honestly caring about intentionally pouring into their kids and intentionally like choosing what's best for their kids instead of just like blindly following along. So honestly, you are really encouraging to me as well. And just to watch like how your family isn't like this, but yet even though you don't have a ton of support, like you're still like, no, I'm going to do what's the best for my kids and I'm going to figure it out, like whatever it takes. And that's so amazing and like impressive to me.
Oh, thank you. You're so sweet. I hope my daughter ends up just like you.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of The Homeschool How-To. If you've enjoyed what you heard, please consider helping me out by sharing this podcast with friends, with your homeschool community, and even to your favorite homeschool group Facebook page. As a new podcast, we're really trying to get our episodes out there so that we can keep going. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show and tell us about your homeschooling experience, email me at thehomeschoolhowto@gmail.com or visit thehomeschoolhowto.com and send me a message through Facebook or Instagram. Thank you for your time and for your love of the next generation. We'll see you next week.